What's up, everyone? This is the one and only Nick Andre. And look, if you're a fan of everything that I do, whether it's writing, podcasting, or anything basketball content related, make sure to subscribe to my playback room. I will be live every Friday live streaming an NBA game. So I will be talking everything about the game itself alongside various topics revolving around basketball. So make sure to tune in, man. Make sure to subscribe. I will leave the link in the description. And let's get into the episode. Another edition of For the Love of the Game. This is your host, Nick Andre. Appreciate everybody for listening in. Hope everyone had a really great past week, even great weekend. For me, it was a little rough because your boy got caught with a little sickness. Had like a slight cold for like 4 or 5 days, man. Had a sore throat, stuffy nose, everything, man. I was just miserable. And I'm a type of guy, I don't really get sick a lot. So Even if it's like the smallest like amount of sickness, like if it's just like something small, like I go crazy myself. So I was trying to push through it for a few days. Didn't really work out the way that I wanted to. So I just decided to just sit out this weekend, even though I did have plans of going out Saturday night and everything. I just decided to say, hey, I'm gonna chill out, watch me some playoff games and just see if I can get better. But thank God for DayQuil and NyQuil, because that definitely helped the boy out, and I was definitely able to recover. So as I'm recording this, I'm a little bit better. I don't know if you can really tell in my voice if I'm still a little bit sick. I am still a little bit sick, but I'm definitely better than what I was the past few days. So, you know, this upcoming week, I just hope to feel stronger than I did this past week. But without further ado, let's dive into some hoop talk. We got hit with some crazy news Sunday afternoon. It's crazy. I woke up to me like a slight walk Sunday morning around like, you know, 11-12 o'clock, and then as soon as I get back to my house, I see that there is a breaking news that went, or actually take this back, I actually went on Instagram and I was scrolling through, and then I happen to see Candace Parker post. You know, I see Candace Parker should post here and there, so I see a baby picture. I'm like, what's this? And I see she in the beginning she quotes one of the infamous songs is Memphis Bleek featuring Jay-Z titled Dear Summer. And for those who know Candace, who are big fans of Candace, everybody automatically knows Jay-Z is her favorite rapper. So she's going to quote just about anything Jay-Z related or any song that he's a part of. And after she quoted the song, she made her announcement and said, I'm retiring. I'm going to just let you guys know from my perspective, I was sad. You know, I was, you know, it was because honestly, I saw this coming. I didn't know when Candace was going to announce her retirement, but everybody known that she was more so on the back end of her career and just kind of knew that she didn't have that many years left. Even this offseason, when people were predicting, hey, will she retire or will she re-sign with the Las Vegas Aces? I was saying that she needed to that she was probably going to re-sign, and she ended up doing that. And even after she officially re-signed, I was saying, you know, this might be her last year. You know, she's signing these 1-year deals. I wouldn't be surprised if she does make an announcement before the season or midway through the season that she was going to retire after this year, so that, you know, she could get a farewell tour, you know, end the game on the right note, because obviously she played, I believe, 18, 20 games this past season, and then, of course, got injured and wasn't able to really be a part of the Aces championship run, especially in the playoffs. So I thought that this was going to be a year where she would dial back and say, hey, you know what? I want to end my career on a high note. Not saying that she didn't end her career on a high note, because she did end up being a part of that championship team. She didn't actually play on the court, but she was a leader off the court, you know, being vocal, you know, trying to tell her teammates, you know, certain things that's going on within the games. So she, even though she didn't play in the final series or even in the other playoff series against Dallas or Chicago, she was definitely a big part of that, a part of that championship run on the bench, being sidelined. But, I mean, look, the resume of Candace Parker is just amazing. You know, I mean, I can just list off a couple of things, going from Gatorade National Player of the Year, Naismith College Player of the Year, 2-time NCAA champion, 2-time tournament most outstanding player, coming out the gates in the W with the Los Angeles Sparks winning Rookie of the Year and the MVP award. Like, I don't know if we'll ever see that in basketball ever again. You know, somebody who comes into the league and wins the MVP. Like, Candace Parker was on a mission that year. And I just remember, and I mean, at the time, I wasn't like a heavy W fan. I watched from time to time, but I just remember watching some Sparks games, and I watched her being able to play with Lisa Leslie, Delisha Milne-Jones, you know, and just all the key veterans on that Sparks team, and her just standing out as the best player. So it was really without question that she was going to win the MVP award that year. And then she dialed back in 2013 and ended up winning another one. Seven-time All-Star. She won the All-Star Game MVP in 2013. Defensive Player of the Year in 2020. And then, of course, you know, a three-time champion. And then, of course, winning the Finals MVP in that 2016 series where the Sparks beat the Minnesota Lynx. That's really just a small sample of what her resume looks like, you know. And it's crazy because even me looking back last year during the W season, anytime somebody made like a huge accomplishment or broke a record, you will always see since Candace Parker. Like, that just shows like the influence that she's had, you know, on the basketball game. And I'll be real, like, Candace Parker, like, when you talk about generational talent, like, she was generational. You know, when you talk about a player of her size and her skill set, I don't think we really saw that versatility on the floor the way that Candace displayed it throughout her career. You know, she was pretty much a power forward who could really lead the offense, run the break. She could play in the post, play on a low block, occasionally step out and knock down 3-point shots. You know, she could literally do everything on the floor. And she was such a high IQ player. She knew where to be at the right time. She knew when to hit her player for an assist at the right time. So Candace was just a smart all-around player, and just the way that she viewed the game was just really phenomenal to watch. You know, and it was just beautiful to be able to watch her excel at a high level, but then also elevate her teammates at a high level as well. I think people need to understand that. So when it comes down to the greatest players or the greatest female basketball players to ever touch this planet, Candace Nicole Parker's name has to be there without question. If you ask me, she's top 10 of the W all time. Top five is debatable. You know, I mean, that's a conversation that I can definitely have with somebody if that is a debate that comes in the near future. But Candace is just amazing, man. You know, it hurts for me because, you know, of course, I want to see my favorite players play forever. But at the end of the day, you know, Candace has always she's always made this statement. She's always made the statement saying that I will never cheat the game. And I think this retirement is pretty much an example of that, saying, hey, you know, I'm not 100%. I'm not at my best, you know, and I don't want to be out on the court, you know, looking crazy. So, you know, if that's the route that she had to go as far as retiring, then, you know, I got to respect that at the end of the day. So shout out to Candace, man. You know, like, her mark in basketball history will never be forgotten, man. And, you know, for her to be able to attack all the new endeavors that she's had, you know, being on TNT, you know, running multiple businesses, being marketable, you know, Candace Parker is beyond basketball at this point. She is beyond basketball, and she's really built a brand for herself that, you know, that will be going on for a long time. It's almost like at this point in her life, it's like basketball is kind of secondary. And it's like, I don't think that's disrespectful to say, because I know how much she loves the game of basketball and I know how much she respects the game. But like I say, you know, Candace has built something so big for herself that goes beyond basketball, and, you know, her impact will continue to leave a mark on W fans and even younger W players. Like, I mean, even look at Aaliyah Boston. You know, Aaliyah Boston, after she led South Carolina to the 2022 national title, she literally shouted out Candace Parker, like, as they were like on stage, you know, accepting their championship. So Candace's impact will be remembered forever. I mean, I even remember Juju Watkins even saying that Candace was one of her favorite players. So Candace's impact is just amazing. And, you know, it'll definitely be remembered forever, you know, as she has decided to close this chapter of her journey.
SeatGeek is a proud sponsor for the love of the game. There are several events getting ready to take place that you don't want to miss. Ticket prices could be a little abnormal. However, if you use code LOVEOFTGBBALL, you can save $20 off your first purchase and be in store for a great night. Again, that's LOVEOFTGBBALL. The code will be at the bottom of the description of this episode, and make sure to support the show by using it. Now, let's get back into the episode.
Moving forward to the next topic, man. More breaking news took place in women's basketball world over the past weekend. Kiki Iriofen is going to USC, huge news. You know, I'll be honest. I mean, even like right after Tara Vanderveer announced her retirement, I literally tweeted out, let's not be surprised if Kiki Ariofin enters the transfer portal. And then literally like probably 2-3 days later, we get breaking news. Kiki Ariofin has entered the transfer portal. So, like I said, this doesn't come as a surprise. There's a lot of factors in why Stanford has kind of like been not really been in a good space right now. Obviously, with Tara leaving, and then of course, you know, Cameron Brink leaving. I'm gonna just call it what it is. Stanford being in the ACC is disgusting. It's terrible. You know, they're on the other side of the West Coast, and they're gonna be playing ACC teams like Notre Dame, Florida State, Syracuse, Miami, Virginia. Like, it's just crazy to me. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And I know the travel is going to be super hectic for them, you know, for those players, you know, coming up the season. But back to Kiki, tremendous all-around player. She had a really great past season for Stanford, averaged around 19.5 points, 11 rebounds. And everybody knows the highlight game that she had this season, where she had 41 points in that second round game against Iowa State, which was just amazing to just watch her go to work, you know, especially with Cameron Brink being in foul trouble. And Kiki just saying, yo, like, Kiki just really put the team on her back, like literally on her back, and said, hey, I am not going to let this team lose. And she did that, you know, like just a flat out spectacular performance. I know that they ended up losing in the Sweet 16 to NC State, but like, that was definitely one of the highlight games of the tournament this past season, was Kiki Ariofin exploded for 41 points. USC, you know, she's a Los Angeles native. I think it's really a perfect situation. I know that there was reports that she was planning on visiting South Carolina. And I'll be real, like, when I heard that she was going to go to South Carolina for a visit, I was like, oh, Don might have this in a wrap, bro. Don literally might have this wrapped up. But hey, I mean, home is where the heart is. And like I said, Kiki is a Los Angeles native, and USC, you know, what they were able to do this past season was just incredible, even though they did lose in the Elite Eight to UConn. You know, this is a program that pretty much has been trying to search for, like, that championship contention. I want to say probably since, like, the Cheryl Miller era. And now that Juju Watkins has pretty much came to this program and just pretty much, you know, revamped it, you know, by herself, has just been really amazing. And now you combine those two together, Juju Watkins and Kiki Ariofin, like, that's just crazy to see, man. Like, that 1-2 punch, probably going to be one of the best in the country. You know, like, if I think about it, I'll say it's probably going to be them. Hannah Hidalgo, when Olivia Miles comes back, that backcourt's going to be nasty. Who else can I think of? Obviously, you know, at South Carolina, you know, I love Raven Johnson. Of course, Tahina Pau-Pau. I think that she's going to have another spectacular year in her fifth year. I'm trying to think of other great duos. Flajane and Anissa Morrow out of LSU, don't sleep. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to be an elite duo. But definitely definitely Juju and Kiki is going to be, like, something great. And, I mean, Kiki is such a versatile big, you know, with her ability to face up, her ability to space the floor, her ability to, you know, play on the low block. You know, she's very physical. She can draw. She can absorb contact. She's just flat out amazing. And, you know, she really showed that in her third year. I think, through her first 2 years, I think that we saw a little bit of it. But in her junior year at Stanford, she was able to put the full package on display. And like I say, you know, that 41 point of the tournament really, really exemplifies, you know, what she was able to do all season. And her and Cameron bringing the front court together was just amazing to watch, especially in the Pac-12. So, man, USC is going to be up next year. And I really cannot wait to see, you know, what Juju and Kiki is able to do together, because I think they're going to do some great things as a duo. Last but not least, before we get out of here, you know, we got to talk about some ABA playoffs, because the action has just been amazing. It's Sunday night that I'm recording this, and the Phoenix Suns are currently in a battle right now to keep their season alive against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Minnesota's actually up by 3 right now, 102-99. So by the time this comes out, we'll know the winner, whether Phoenix keeps their season alive and heads back to Minnesota for game 5. Or they could be going to Cancun. Who knows? But honestly, I mean, give credit to Minnesota. And This is something that I've been trying to tell people, man. Minnesota's a really good team, and even going into the series, I saw a lot of people having Phoenix win the series, and I get it. You know, when you talk about the firepower of Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal, you know, like who's going to be able to stop that team? Well, honestly, I'll be real. The only team that's really stopping them is themselves, honestly, when you look at the Phoenix Suns. I just don't think that it's been really a good year for them. I mean, obviously, with their firepower, they're going to be able to make the playoffs. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, like, to me, this was never really a team that I looked upon as far as saying that, hey, this team is the favorite to win the championship. I didn't think that they were better than a lot of teams in the Western Conference. And I mean, it clearly shows. I mean, they ended up landing the sixth seed. But for them to possibly get swept is just – I didn't expect that. I definitely didn't expect that. But Minnesota's been amazing. You know, it's like I said, you know, last week, Anthony Edwards being able to lead that team, like that's your number one option right there. And it's without question. And not another Carl Anthony Towns, because I think that he's been really good as well. But Ant-Man is going to be who takes this team far. And without him being in attack mode and really leading the way for them, you know, I don't think Minnesota can really get that far. So I'll be real, that second round matchup against Denver is going to be really, really fascinating to watch. Obviously, it's a rematch of what took place last year in the first round. And Denver ended up winning the series in five, excuse me. So, you know, I think Minnesota should be looking to go into that series pretty hungry. You know, they should be motivated, especially, you know, once they're able to get past this round against Phoenix. And understand that, you know, there's another tough test against the defending champs. So that's going to be fun, man. You know, let me know who y'all got in that series, you know, when it does happen. Because, I mean, let's be real, it's going to happen. I mean, both teams are – well, Minnesota's currently up 3-0, and Denver's actually up 3-1, which I can dive into that right now. I guess give kudos to the Lakers for being able to get through or for just to be able to just avoid getting swept, because – it would have been terrible to watch them get swept against the same team 2 years in a row. But it just shows how good Denver is. And the Lakers don't really have a lot of answers for Denver. You know, I mean, obviously Nikola Jokic has just been amazing on both ends of the floor. Jamal Murray has proven that, like, Jamal Murray is a playoff sensation. Like, playoff Jamal Murray is a real thing. And I've been trying to tell people that since the bubble. Like, and I get it, you know, when Jamal Murray was going crazy in the bubble, everybody was like, okay, can he continue this? Can he continue this? And you have to look at it. The next year, he tears his ACL. Denver gets bounced in the second round against Phoenix in 2021. He ends up missing the 2021-22 season. Luckily, Denver was able to clinch a sixth seed, and that was with MVP Jokic just going crazy, but they lost in the first round to Golden State. Then he comes back a year later after that in 2023, and the Nuggets win a championship. So it just shows the impact that he has on this team. You know, people like to downplay Jamal Murray. I know a lot of people hated on Jamal Murray whenever he first came into the NBA, but you can't knock that man and his importance to this Denver Nuggets team and his importance as a second option behind Nikola Jokic. He's just been sensational. And that game-winning shot in game two really exemplifies, you know, how important he is to this Denver Nuggets team and how he's a star in the NBA. Don't let these zero all-stars that he have tell you the type of player that he is, because Jamal Murray is a star in this league. He's a playoff sensation, like I mentioned earlier, and he's one of the best out here, man. He's one of the best. But like I said, you know, give credit to the Lakers for being able to avoid being swept. I'm gonna just be real. I'm not a fan of these teams that go down 3-0 and then just decide, oh shit, we figured it out. Like, just kind of crazy to me. But there's no question about it. I got Denver winning in five. I initially did have Denver winning in five anyway, so this is just pretty much gonna you know, go with my prediction. So, and I think game five is going to be a blowout. I think the Lakers are going to get blown the hell out of here. So don't be surprised when it happens. But like I say, you know, give credit to the Lakers, and Denver will be taking this series on their home floor. Another series, the Knicks are up 3-1 right now over the Philadelphia 76ers. Jalen Brunson, 47 points, 10 assists in game four. Trying to tell y'all, man, he's a superstar. He is a superstar, man. I know that, like, I get it. You know, I know the name Jalen Brunson may not be, like, household. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a Stephen Curry or a LeBron James or a Kevin Durant or a Giannis or whoever it is. You know, all the superstars that we have in today's league. But his game has proven it. and he's shown up whenever they needed him. You know, he's, in my opinion, one of the favorites for the MVP award for this season. And then just for him being able to elevate, because I'll be real, Jalen Brunson did not play well throughout the first two games, pretty much more so the first three games. I mean, he played a little bit better in game three, but, you know, still wasn't enough. So for him to come back, you know, after losing game three, you know, Philly's on a high right now. They got momentum on their side. They got a big win in game three. Joel Embiid just dropped 50. And for him to just come out the gates, you know, just being in attack mode, just being able to lead the way the entire way, it just shows like the type of player that he is. And superstars are players who put the team on their back. And Jalen Brunson has definitely done that. So, you know, get credit to him for the exceptional performance. The Knicks are one win away from moving on to the second round, which will be the first time that they've made it past the first round in back-to-back years. And God knows how long, maybe like the early 2000s, maybe like the late 90s. So, you know, Jalen Brunson has just been sensational. Another series we can talk about, the Pacers are up 3-1 on Milwaukee. They ended up just winning Sunday night. And might be wraps for Milwaukee. It might be wraps for them. I'm sure many people did not expect the Dame injury to come about. We still have not seen Giannis at all in his postseason. And with Milwaukee being without their two stars, the Pacers are just taking advantage of that. And you can't knock them for doing that. You know, they got to take advantage of what's in front of them. Tyrese Haliburton has been incredible. Miles Turner had 29 points in his game four. Had a huge dunk on Brook Lopez. That was just nasty. I was like, damn. And then, of course, you know, Pascal Siakam's playing well. Aaron Nesmith's playing well as well. So, you know, it's really just been a whole team thing when it came to Milwaukee. Or, excuse me, when it comes to Indiana. And, you know, for them to be able to get past this series, I mean, they're one win away. I think Milwaukee finds a way to win game five. Just because, I mean, they're back on their home floor. So, you know, they're going to thrive off the energy of the crowd. Just be able to steal that one at home. But also, who knows? Because they were up like 16, 18 points in game five last year against Miami. And then playoff Jimmy just went crazy down the stretch. But, you know, who knows? But I do have Milwaukee winning game five. And I think Indiana will be able to close it in game six. But like I say, you know, give credit to Indiana for just taking advantage of what's in front of them. The Clippers and Mavs are tied at two games apiece. Give credit to the Clippers for bouncing back and being able to win game four. I'm telling y'all, man, this series is going seven. It's going seven. And I love the competitiveness and I love the chippiness of this series. Like, it's like I said before, you know, this is a little rivalry. You know, it dates back to the bubble. We already know Luka in his history with the Clippers. You know, he literally hates this team. And you know, Luka, I wouldn't say Luka's shot the ball really well in this series, but he's really played exceptional as far as being a playmaker. Of course, you know, continuing to score the basketball at a high level. Kyrie's been sensational as well. But, you know, the biggest factors have been Dallas's supporting cast. You know, you talk about Derek Lively, you talk about PJ Washington, you talk about, like, all the other guys as well. You know, they've just been able to really step up and really contribute at a high level, and that's what's really been one of the leading factors in Dallas's success in the series. As for the Clippers, you know, their stars have been able to lead the way. You know, Paul George had a really great game four performance. Same thing with James Harden. But the biggest thing is, you know, what's with the health of Kawhi Leonard? That's probably the biggest thing that we have to look at is, you know, what is with the health of Kawhi Leonard? You know, is he going to be available for any other point of the series, or is he possibly done for the postseason? If you ask me, I'm probably going to say he's done for the postseason. And it sucks at the end of the day because Kawhi is such a gifted player, man. Kawhi is just so gifted, man. And his growth as an offensive player, like, needs to be highlighted more because he, like, it's textbook offense with Kawhi Leonard, you know, with the way that he's just able to maneuver in the mid-range and just being able to find his buckets. Like, you know, I think Kawhi is one of the guys that's just really, really keeping the mid-range alive with the way that he operates in that area. But That's one of the Clippers' biggest downfalls is, you know, his injuries. You know, last year when they played Phoenix in the first round, Kawhi had a monster game one, didn't play the rest of the series. Paul George missed the entire series. So it's just an unfortunate situation. And, you know, and it's like, I mean, it's almost like the same thing like with Milwaukee. You know, Milwaukee's been dealing with their injuries. So Indiana's been able to take advantage. So I think now with Kawhi out, and even though the Clippers still do have firepower with Paul George, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden, the Mavs have to find out a way to capitalize off of Kawhi's absence and being able to win this series. So if you ask me, I think this series is definitely going seven. I believe that Dallas will win in game seven. And I think that somehow, some way, they'll be the team that finds a way to get out of this first round. Just a few other series that we can talk about. OKC is up 3-0 against New Orleans. I expected more out of New Orleans. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I knew that, yes, we know that OKC is a better team. And yes, we do know that they're going to get out of this series. But also at the same time, I thought that New Orleans was good enough to find a way to win at least one game. I'll be real. I don't have them winning game four. I think that game three should have been the game that they won, but they blew that one. So I think OKC will be finishing this out in a sweep. But give credit to the whole team. Jalen Williams is sensational. That man is sensational. You know, we got to talk about it. Like, that guy, as you know, he's not the best player on this team. He's probably not the most popular guy on this team. Obviously, that belongs to the guys like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They're probably Chet Holmgren. But Jalen Williams and his growth as a player throughout, not even just in the series, but in this, like, throughout the season, has just been incredible. And it's showing in the postseason so far. So without Jalen Williams' impact on both ends of the floor, like, I don't think OKC is really as good as what they are, honestly. But I think, you know, obviously the absence of Zion Williamson, that's really hurting New Orleans. You know, obviously, you know, that's their best player. So just unfortunate. But yeah, if you ask me, I believe that OKC is going to finish this out in four games. And then the last series I'll talk about briefly is Cleveland and Orlando. I told people, man, that's going to be a series. You know, obviously that's a 4-5 matchup, so it's evenly matched. And give credit to Cleveland. You know, they came out of the gates one of the first two games, but Orlando responded terrifically, winning games 3 and 4. And it's really been a team collective thing. You know, their supporting cast is really getting things done on both ends of the court. So going into game five, you know, I think this might be one of the series where the home team just wins every game. So I'm going to say Cleveland's going to win game five. Orlando's going to go back to Orlando and win game six. And then game seven, I think the Cavs will probably take that one and move on to the next round, just because experience will play a factor in this. And give credit to Orlando for making this a dogfight, because a lot of people had Cleveland sweeping them. A lot of people had Cleveland winning in like five games. So for them to have put pressure on this Cleveland team, forcing six games, is just going to be amazing. And then potentially seven. So who knows? So that's the series that people need to look out for as well, because I think that series is going to be really good down the stretch of that series. But that's going to wrap it up with this episode. Once again, appreciate you guys for listening in. Always appreciative of all the love and all the feedback that you guys give me. Like I said, you know, I'm going to try to do two episodes a week every Monday and Thursday. Yeah, Monday and Thursday. So please be in tune for that. Make sure to subscribe on anywhere you listen, Apple, Spotify, iHeart, you name it. Make sure to follow me on X at Nick Andre ATR, and make sure to follow the show at For the Love of the Game. And until next time, you guys, deuces.